مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We have our brother, and that is brother Imran Khan. And he is, alhamdulillah, playing an important role, especially in the area of Northcliff. When we went there just for the last Jumu'ah, we saw the big sign there, and it catches your attention. And you'll be surprised to know that these signs, they do play a role. And he mentioned to me thereafter, he will share what he mentioned with me thereafter, but it's all about, it says, Jesus is coming. And he is coming. We as Muslims, we believe in Jesus, and he is coming. So Isa alayhi salam, all of this, if you are Christian and you believe that he died, well, we as Muslims believe in Isa alayhi salam, and he is coming. So regarding this topic as well, we're speaking about new Muslims, the challenges that they face. Let's welcome brother Imran Khan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Imran, alhamdulillah, all well. Inshallah, we'll give you another segment as well. We owe it to you because of this delay. We were just having a discussion previously. The podcast will be prepared as well on the masjid and the challenges that were faced by the locals as well and the Muslimin community. So, Brother Imran Khan, how will you introduce this whole... let's first start with this, yeah. Firstly, the challenges we have spoken with on other occasions with other people with regards to giving dawah and how to do it. But here the challenge now is you've made the person a Muslim through the tawfiq of Allah. We don't do anything, but we made that effort. But now we abandoned that person, and now this person is a Muslim trying to search his way, and then he gets caught up in everything else. Perhaps you can give us just an introduction for now.
Okay, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum, dearest brother and listeners. Jazakallah khair for the opportunity. A very, very important topic indeed. You said that you already discussed, or you already been to other interviews where, you know, the importance of dawah and how to give dawah. And now, basically, now that the person has reverted to Islam, what next? You know, and how can we support our brothers and sisters that have embraced Islam? And mashallah, this is an excellent topic that you've chosen. So firstly, I would say one of the most important things is the integration. The integration is very, very important, that the new Muslim, you know, once a person takes that step, you know, that first day is amazing, that shahada is amazing, there's so many brothers hugging, you know, the brother that embraced Islam and wishing him well, and, you know, there's so much of happiness and joy. And now moving forward, that integration and making that person feel part of the community and also connecting him to the community. So, for example, one of the things that we do at Joburg Dawah Center and with some of the organizations that I work with is we've now, alhamdulillah, put together a database. And this database, and you're most welcome to add on to it and we can share it with you as well. This database has different masajid and different institutions on them where a new Muslim could go and could learn more about Islam. So when the person joins an institution, even if it's for one day a week, even if it's for 2 hours a week, so long as there's some continuation, so the person is not sort of left alone because shaitan can come to the person can get involved in the dunya, the person can feel like he's abandoned. So now one of the ways of doing it is that when the person is now connected to this network of classes, so for example, we may have, say, a brother that reversed to Islam in Northcliff or in Roosevelt Park or in Albertville or Indonesia, whatever the case is. It's important to then connect the brother to a sheikh, to a molana, you know, if it's in case of a sister, then to the apa or the molima, etc. And where the person can have continuity. And in these classes, the person will also meet other new Muslims who have also had the similar, you know, may have similar experiences in their journey to Islam, and also have, you know, similar challenges. Now the person has somebody that they can relate to, and, you know, they don't feel like they're alone. And as this happens and a person becomes part of the masjid, now he starts making, you know, salah regularly because he comes to the classes, then he meets with other brothers, and then he slowly becomes part of the community. So I would say this is one of the most important things, is after a person becomes Muslim, is to get them connected to a class, even if it's once a week, even if it's for 1 hour a week.
That is important. And when you, as you were saying, and it's just a nightmare, one could imagine that when you say, and you quote the hadith, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read salah like how you see me reading salah. So I think very seldomly or very few people can say, you know, we saw a dream of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading salah. How do you pray like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed? You have to watch others. So you have to be there. And this is what you've been stressing, that networking classes has to be in place. We had one revered brother, he accepted Islam. I think it was in the heat of the COVID. And for him, it was quite difficult because he had that fear where there was perhaps still masajid open, but he had that fear to go there. And then to teach, it's like giving information. And, you know, here's all the masail of salah. You make them. What is a person ever going to learn the proper way? He has to see it. He has to witness it. So these classes are important, and I think what this effort is as well, where you have different bases in different areas, because many times what happens is I'm struggling, and I mentioned to you when I met you that we have this revered brother and he's struggling also, so we need to attach him to some organization. Now I have my own work and my own responsibilities, but there is that need for this year to just focus, no maktab, nothing, just focusing on new Muslims and getting them. We I think on a greater scale, we've turned our attention for this. And we heard many of our shuyukh also saying that the locals of this country, if we're not going to take deen to them, then it's just going to bounce back onto us later, because we granted this gift, but we're not sharing it with the rest. So this is an important role. Maybe you can just share with us as well your experiences. You came to me last week and you've said to me that how a Christian was it. She stopped by mistake, and she saw this. The Uber wasn't supposed to stop there, and then she saw the sign and something sparked it to embrace Islam. Perhaps it's better for you to explain to us.
Okay. So with regard to our discussion, what we had, it's part of a greater topic of, you know, the, like I said, the importance and the method, and maybe we can do that at another time. But I'd like to touch slightly on it, and inshallah, I can draw the picture or give the share with the listeners this beautiful story, mashallah. So the part of the bigger picture is basically, like you mentioned, sharing the message of Islam, you know, with the non-Muslims of this country. And the importance, and one way that I've learned, alhamdulillah, is the, you know, to learn the languages of the people. You know, if you want to get to the heart of the people, you know, important to learn the languages of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمٍ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent any messengers except, you know, with the language of the people. So if you want to your dawah to be effective, it is very, very important, even if you aren't able to speak the entire language of a certain of the people, at least learn how to greet a person and give them, for example, the basic translation of the adhan. And this I've noticed is very, very, very effective. Alhamdulillah, people are like, you know, I've listened to Azan, they say 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and this is the first time that, you know, I know what it means. So there's a lot of ignorance out there. People have not really rejected Islam. In actual fact, in my honest opinion, the message of Islam has not reached people properly. So with regard to the story that we have, alhamdulillah, that's one way of giving dawah. Another way is to put up these, you know, a masjid is like, subhanAllah, that is the place that we need to concentrate on. This is, you know, a source of of light. If we can, outside the masajid, put, you know, invitations to Islam. For example, in Albertville, we've got there that Islam welcomes you, you know, if Islam officially welcomes you and your families, you know, or we officially welcome you and your families to Islam. And in the poster we've got there, the other one as well, is, did you know that Muslims believe that Jesus, alayhi salam, is coming back? But then this generally strikes, you know, people's attention. And, you know, this is something that they don't know. So once they, you know, you sort of put this out and, you know, you're going to market it as well. You know, you put it out there. Like, how we spend so much of attention on our businesses and our work and things like that. You know, we should be giving the same, if not more, effort with regards to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 100%. This beautiful story that we had a few years ago is we had these signboards, you know, outside the masjid. And, you know, there was a sister that was working nearby, I think it was possibly 2 doors away or so, I'm not too sure, maybe even next door. And the Uber driver, sometimes, you know, when you take the Uber, they don't drop you exactly at your destination. You know, you sometimes, depending on the street numbers, whatever the case is, you know, but that's just by the way. They dropped her outside, you know, the masjid in Albertville. And the sister then, you know, saw these signs that, you know, about the invitation to Islam and that. And then, alhamdulillah, my number was there, and the sister called me, and she was interested in Islam. Alhamdulillah, she reverted to Islam, and mashallah, what a strong sister. I mean, you know, she studied, now she's moved to another country, but while she was here in South Africa, you know, she was doing online classes, and, you know, you could really see deen in her. And this is just one story of many, you know, of where your small little effort of just putting outside a signboard outside your business premises or your doctor's surgery in there or outside the masjid, just showing people that, you know what, I mean, Islam, because people have a misconception that Islam is only, you know, for certain people. You know, it's like an Indian religion, for example. They have this mosque. I'm sure in many of the interviews you must have come across this, that people think that Islam is an Indian religion. So it's only for the Indians. Am I right?
Locally, yes, that's correct.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, people have this misconception. And then the thing is, we have to break this misconception. People say, I mean, the Mu'adhin of the Masjid, mashallah, the brother, he does, you know, what an amazing guy. He gives da'wah as well. He told me that, you know, when we had this, you know, there was this water crisis. I'm not sure if it affected you in Indonesia, but in Johannesburg or around this area, Northcliff, and that we had water outages for, you know, several days. And alhamdulillah, Allah has, you know, privileged us and honored us and gave us the opportunity from the different masajid to then serve the community and give them water. And I'm sure, you know, this maybe happens in your area, I'm not too sure. But non-Muslims were lining up to come for water. And this is an opportunity. I mean, the non-Muslim has come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you don't have to call them to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have come there. You just need to grab that opportunity, maybe put up some signboards, put out some pamphlets. And Sheikh shared with me another beautiful story. He said, you know, after a few days later, after the water crisis had been resolved, you know, one sister drove into the, you know, the parking area. So Sheikh, mashallah, is, you know, is so enthusiastic. He went, he says, you know, it's ready to get the bucket and to bring out the water for the sister. And then she said, I'm okay with water. I'm sorted out. I just wanted to know, you know, when, you know, that sign that you have there that Muslims believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, is coming back. Do you guys really believe that? You know, so I mean, you know, there's stories like this that you spark the interest and, you know, it's an opportunity for us to eradicate the misconceptions and to invite the people to Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, privilege us and honor us and unite us as an ummah, you know, and that's with regard to the network. When we united as an ummah in, you know, with regard to networking, because you know what, everybody can't do everything. I'm in Albertville, you've got Mulana Irfan in Roosevelt, you've got a brother in Northcliff, you in Indonesia, there's hundreds of masajid. And when it's easy for a new Muslim to go to the place which is closest to his house, then, you know, it's more effective, because then the brother, you know, it's just a few steps away, as opposed to telling the brother, okay, you know, you stay here, you must drive 30 kilometers to go there, you know. So it's just about working together and networking, you know.
I've just been to the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal, and whenever I go that side, I've noticed that there's always this warm feeling amongst, especially the non-Muslims towards Muslims and Islam. Maybe, I don't know if it's a personal experience. I don't know if others also feel the same way. Perhaps you can share it also with us. You know, the number 084-786-3132. So I always wondered, like, why is this? There's no that, you know, that cold feeling. And you feel, when you look back and you see the good work that our Muslims have been doing, and you've seen the atrocities KwaZulu-Natal has been facing these past few years, and the response and the responsibility of the Muslim Ummah towards non-Muslims in this, it really plays that role when they were sitting and, you know, all the looting that took place and everything. Then Muslims stood tall and said, let's see how we can assist here. These are major players. I don't want to call it a game because this is not a game. It's real. It is real work that is done, and it's affecting change in the hearts of people. And people then come onto real teachings and a codified lifestyle which they've been searching for. So there's just one more thing I want to ask before we leave you. Is this year that, because you've been dealing with this topic, and I like how you have said that females must be connected to females, males to males, and of course we don't have all of these open day masjids where you allow just, but all of this is done in a controlled manner, in a specific manner according to the Sharia. And that the question here is, when you're dealing, like, just say I'm staying in Lanesia, so I have a new Muslim, he's around the corner. You've referred me and you've referred him as well to come to me. What is that relation supposed to be like? Because I would imagine it cannot be like a teacher-student. It's got to be like more of a friendship. And it's got to be like any time, any availability. Can you give us some advice on that?
Look, there's a lot of challenges with regard to, like you say, availability and time. Because the thing is, mashallah, amongst the shuyukh and amongst the ulama and that, people have so many commitments. So a more structured approach, the new Muslims, alhamdulillah, they're ready to learn, they're sincere. If you had to give them a specific time and then you set that time, because what happens is that if you leave it open, then, sometimes you personally, and you can speak to other people as well in the, in the similar, with regard to the same thing, is that you end up taking up more than what you can manage. So a structured approach of maybe just choosing one day and a specific time. And alhamdulillah, the brothers do tend to come. And with regard to your question, excellent question, beautiful, mashallah. You see, the thing is, when you are going to work with new Muslims, you're not working with a specific age category. You may have somebody who's 16 years old. You may have somebody who's 30 years old. You may have somebody who's 70 years old. Just like, for example, in my class, I've got, there's a 70-year-old uncle, there's a 17-year-old boy, there's a 35-year-old, brother as well. So the thing is, you're working with people with different ages, and, you have to be sensitive about it also, that, they've lived now the entire life. It's not like how we've grown up going to maktab from the age of 5-6 years old, their challenges are different. I know the topic is challenges and we drifted away, but they come from total, their circumstances at home, for example, where while this brother become or sister becomes a Muslim, sometimes the entire family has cut them off, financially. And also, this brother or sister that has reverted, sometimes what happens is that sometimes when they've reverted, so the entire family may be Christian, right? Because sometimes it's just an individual, it's not an entire family, and or Hindu, whatever the case is, right? And the whole family will then be celebrating Christmas or Diwali, whatever the case is, and this brother or sister will refrain, alhamdulillah. And now comes the time of Eid, and this brother or sister is totally alone.
Exactly.
So the challenge is, and alhamdulillah, we started something, Eid breakfast, and we've got totally separately, total separate separation, ladies with the ladies, men with the men. And this is something where, it's like one brother mentioned, he says, the day of Eid is the saddest day of my life. And then you think to yourself, like, how can the day of Eid be the saddest day of your life? And then if we have to put ourselves in the person's shoes and think, Like that's the only person, the person is totally alone on this day of joy and happiness. And this is where it's up to us to integrate and to, you know, link up with our brothers and sisters. Because sometimes a person can be reading Salah at that masjid for 10 years, 15 years, and people don't even know each other's names. Your story, how you became a Muslim, oh, wow, mashallah, the person gets inspired. They also now want to do dawah, they understand the importance, and then they link up with his brother, they support him. Sometimes it's not only about money, really. Sometimes it's just about, you know, connecting with that person. Sorry, I trusted and I went. I don't even know where we started off. But, I mean, it's so important, you know, for us to have this, you know, this integration and make the brothers feel part of, you know, the ummah.
Mm. Good messages out there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Perhaps one day you can, we can have you can have a call with your, also a few of your students. They can share as well their experiences. You've mentioned as well the challenges new Muslims face. We've got one brother here, and we'll end off with this, inshallah. When he accepted Islam, his whole, his wife, his children, he came on a few times, and we've got his podcast and everything. He shared it with us on air. His whole family, he just decided middle of the night he's accepting Islam. He accepted Islam, of course, over research and all of this. And then when he embraced it, when he entered the house, his wife said, "You're no more welcome here." His children stood with his, with their mother, and he had to then now forget going to another place or starting over. He didn't have a house, a base, a shelter, nothing. Just could take what he could take, and he went out. He went out in Jamaat. Through that, he gained a little bit of understanding. That's also an easy way to learn deen. And then after 3-4 weeks, he said, and someone said, "Why don't you go for Umrah?" They sponsored his ticket, everything. He says, "I'm on the plane going for Umrah. I don't know what's Umrah. I don't know what's Kaaba Sharif, Al-Musharrafa. I don't know what's all of this here. I'm asking Muslims on the plane. They cannot help me also." So he says, eventually I took a book, a kitab. I started learning. In that whole journey, just on that flight, he learned certainty. And then he was already teaching Muslims on that plane. So this is how Allah accepts people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And inshallah,
I'd like to just say one last message. If I know you're still ending on this, is something that crossed my mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in my heart. And I just like to say one, if it's okay.
Chi.
Is that, you know, to the brothers and sisters that are listening, you know, it's not limited to the classes that we run. You know, every single person can be part of this. If you are a musalli in the masjid, okay, and you see a new Muslim that is now, you know, is part of the community, if you know the basics of Islam properly, okay, even you can share this knowledge with the new Muslim, and there's so much of reward in it. Imagine you see a person just accepted Islam and you teach the person how to make wudu, the basics, right? Every single time that person makes wudu, you also have a share in that reward, and nothing is cut from that person. So this, you know, is not just limited to, you know, you've got the shuyukh and ulama that, okay, now, you know, they're doing the reverse classes. Even the apas that are sitting at home, sometimes you retire them. You know, you can even, you know, do your, a little bit, whatever you can share with the new sisters that have embraced Islam. You know, teach them the basics of it. So long as you know it properly, just the basics, this is something that everybody can be part of. You know, and then I'll end on this last quote. You know, somebody sometimes we have this criticism, you know, with regard to da'wah, and people say it's very easy to make a person a new Muslim, but who's going to take care of them once they accept Islam? And my answer is very simple and straightforward with regard to this. Firstly, it's not very easy to make a person a Muslim. A person only becomes a Muslim when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it ayat. And secondly, who's going to take care of him? I'm going to take care of him. You're going to take care of him. We're going to take care of him, because this is our responsibility, and we are one ummah.
Jazakumullah khairan as well. Appreciate. There was also this, one of our seniors yesterday shared this message with regards to posters. When you have these strong messages, he said, senior mufti of our country, he said, in our Darul Uloom, we want these posters, because posters are silent teachers. We'll leave you with that, and our listeners as well, make dua for us, and inshallah, Allah assist one and all. We'll communicate with you as well for more advice if we need so. Of course, we'll have another segment, but personally as well. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.